This is Digital Story Podcast number 961, August 20th, 2024. Today's theme is Zero Computational Photography with Process Zero. I'm Derek Story. Are you ready to see what kind of pictures your iPhone captures with absolutely no computational photography applied? You might wonder how that could even happen. The latest version of Halid includes a feature called Process Zero. And when it's enabled, you record a raw file with no AI or computational photography adjustments. Basically, it's like shooting slide film from an analog camera. And the results just might surprise you. I explain how it works, plus more, on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So I'm going to start out by saying that this is not drop everything that you do and embrace this workflow. Okay, this is not that kind of thing. The kind of thing that this is when you feel like experimenting, playing, being creative, doing something outside of your normal workflow. When I talk about your workflow, I'm talking about smartphone photography workflow. We all have our other cameras, our mirrorless cameras, or whatever we're using. But this is when you want something different, in the case of an iPhone, when you want something different than what is delivered to you automatically with your iPhone. And the iPhone is a beautiful device. We talk about it all the time. It has millions of lines of code that are executed every time you tap the shutter button, right? And it renders beautiful pictures more often than not. That's its job, to make pretty pictures. However, a lot of us who shoot with iPhones have some experience with photography. We know a little bit about it. And sometimes it would be nice to use that device that we have in our pocket more like the camera that we carry around in our camera bag, especially when we're out and about. We don't have a regular camera with us. We have a few minutes to maybe play with something creatively, and we want to do something creatively. We want to override all that AI and computational photography stuff that's happening in our iPhone, because if you have, in like in my case, a Pro Max, you have three very capable cameras right there built in. You have a telephoto, you have a super wide angle, and you have a moderately wide angle. And there's a lot you can do with those cameras. And maybe you want to do something a little different than just a postcard shot. That's where Halid Mark II comes into play. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what they've done with Process Zero, which is included in the just released version of Halid, version 2.15. This is a camera app that's been around for a while, and they've done all sorts of good stuff with it. And the thinking behind it has always been, hey, have a little bit more control over your camera. That's always been their goal, and they've done a good job with it. I think before Process Zero, though, they didn't have the complete control that sometimes we wanted by just shooting a raw file that's not processed at all. Zero processing. And this is the first time that they've accomplished that with Process Zero. Now, I think the best way to get into the actual details of this is to let them explain what they're doing, and then I'm going to talk about my experience with it as well. Here's what they have to say. When you take a photo on your iPhone, your photo is processed. The newer your iPhone is, the more processing typically happens. Sometimes AI even comes in to make significant changes to your shot. People are made brighter, noise is reduced, details enhanced, and flaws removed. You might love this, or you might not. That can even change from photo to photo. That made us think, why shouldn't you be able to choose your processing the way you choose a lens? Where Halid previously allowed you to reduce processing, Halid 2.15 gives you total control. We now let you choose your image processing from the go. When you first set up Halid, or when you tap the format picker in the app, we now offer a choice. You can choose Apple's standard image processing, reduced image processing, or something new called Process Zero. Process Zero is our own process. We take raw sensor data and do minimal processing to make it beautiful, natural, and a film-like shot. It's very quick, up to 20 times faster than Pro Raw, and it's saved along with a 12 megapixel native RAW file. You can choose it anytime by tapping the RAW/HEIC format picker in the Howlett interface. After taking a few shots, using it is simple on your iPhone. Any app you open your photos in will use Process Zero image, and any editor that supports RAW will open the RAW data for further editing. It's easy. Process Zero is not made for low light photography, as it will get noisy and can get color cast. It has no HDR or AI to tweak the detail or dynamic range. Use this if you want to shoot entirely without Apple's processing, a bit like an older digital camera for natural looking shots, or as a starting point for editing. With this, they've included something called Image Lab. An image lab is just a straight raw processor. I mean, you can adjust brightness with it, right? And then what it does is it reprocesses that original raw file. Well, I'm gonna let them say what it is exactly, but that's been my experience with it. It was different than I thought it was going to be, and I'll explain how it fits into the pipeline here in a second. Let's go back to them. When we shoot with Process Zero, we found that we often didn't want to edit the results much, but we did want to tweak the exposure at times. Since all Process Zero shots contain the original raw data, we decided to add our first editing feature, the Image Lab. In the reviewer, that's where the little thumbnail is of the shot you just took in the lower left-hand corner. In the reviewer, tap the small plus minus icon to open the Image Lab. Adjusting exposure here will reprocess the raw data with Process Zero, letting you often recover lost detail in shadows or highlights. Saving it will keep your raw intact and save a new Process Zero shot. Quick adjustments, ideal when you want to skip the editing or get to a first pass on your shots. I'll tell you what my case scenario is. We're going to get back to them in a second. I have another app on my phone called Raw Power. I just love it. I've talked about it for years. I use it on the Mac, and I also use it on my iPhone, and it is a very good RAW processor. It's written by the guys that did the original Aperture. It's phenomenal. It's so good. The pipeline has been, when I shoot with Howlett, is I shoot Process Zero. I have the RAW file. I do take a look at it with Image Lab and brighten or darken just a bit if necessary. Although I haven't had to that much because I'm using exposure compensation while I'm shooting. And then I can send that file on my phone to RAW Power on my phone and actually do some RAW processing. I can also process that file in Photos for Mac OS and choose Process RAW File. I can do all sorts of different things with it. Here's where it gets fun because, well, you have access to a RAW file. So all the RAW things that you think about, Lightroom, mobile, all that stuff comes into play here. It's just a matter of how you put all the pieces together. Okay. All right, let's get back. I just want to do a little bit of a features review, and then I'll talk a bit more about using this app. Process Zero. It produces photos with more detail and allows the photographer greater control over lighting exposure. This is not a photo filter. It really develops photos at the raw sensor data level. Process Zero is available on every iPhone that runs Howlett and iOS 17, not just the latest iPhone Pro. iPhone controls noise by combining multiple shots. You are no longer capturing a single moment in time. And when you average together multiple photos, noise goes away. Process Zero is a single shot process. So this is a very important point. Part of the reason why you get more noise when shooting Process Zero in low light is because we're not using computational photography to eliminate it, right? You're not taking all those multiple shots that the iPhone normally captures in low light and combining them together to reduce noise, you just are capturing one shot. But that's also why it's faster. And it is quite a bit faster than shooting with the iPhone in computational photography mode. So one shot here. And then the last thing I want to say about just before I forget is that you can get the latest version of Halid with Process Zero and Image Lab for $11.99 a year. So it's basically a dollar a month subscription. And they offer a 1 week free trial so you can check it out for yourself. Now let's get to some of the pictures that I shot with it. So I wanted to do some testing with this and I got my computer open right here and I'm going to open the Photos app where I was playing around with these shots. And I actually run a film strip in the show notes of the raw file unedited using Process Zero, the raw file edited, and then the same shot captured as a high efficiency shot with computational photography unedited, and then an edited computational photography shot. So I have four different shots here. And it was really interesting. And I'm looking at the four different versions right now. And I chose a scene that I thought would challenge the iPhone just a bit. It is a backlit scene with a potted plant in the foreground. It's an anthurium. So I have nice big green leaves. And then I have some pinkish red flowers. And it's all kind of right there. So I was going, okay, this will be good because I've got different colors, I've got backlighting, all that sort of stuff. Now, when I look at the original shot captured with Process Zero, and I did some exposure compensation while I was capturing it, I upped exposure compensation, I believe, here I can tell you right now because I took notes, plus 1.6. So I did plus 1.6 exposure compensation. And I got what you would expect, a very bright background, and then a reasonably well exposed potted plant. And it looks pretty good. I still wanted to brighten the potted plant a bit more, but I knew I could do that in post using my image editor. But I like the shot, the original raw shot that I captured with Process Zero. It was pretty good. Now, when I edited that shot, it looks really good. And the editing behaves as you would expect a raw file, which is it doesn't overreact to opening up the shadows and it doesn't overreact to, you know, bringing more detail into the highlights as well. So it's a little bit more gradual, definitely, than if you're trying to edit a JPEG. So I thought the editing went smooth and I got a very nice shot. Then when I started working on the high efficiency shot captured with computational photography, I noticed that the phone decided to make a number of decisions that I thought was interesting. And one of them was it was really trying to hang on to some of the tonality behind the glass. It's a translucent window, so it's not showing detail, but it does show tonality. And there's a bush back there that's green, and then there's some sky and all that kind of stuff. So what the iPhone was trying to do was hang on to some of that tonality in the background behind the glass and at the same time give me the best exposure possible for the potted plant. And I thought that was fascinating that it wanted to do that. Now, when I edited the shot to my taste, the potted plant looks great, just like it did with the Process Zero shot, but it hung on still to some of that tonality in the background, whereas with the Process Zero shot, it behaved more like a film shot in the sense that the background went completely white. It's very bright. You don't even see the detail in the glass at all. It went very bright, and I have a nice exposure on the plant. So the reason why I bring this up is that sometimes we want to hang on to all that tonality, right? We want to hang on to as much tonality in the bright background as possible, and we want to hang on to as much tonality in the foreground shot, the foreground subject, as possible. And that is something that we want to do when we think about how we want the shot to render. But sometimes we may want the background to more or less go away, at least tonally speaking. In other words, if it's a backlit subject, we want that background to be very white so that we can just focus on the subject. Or if it's a dark background, we want that background to be very dark, maybe just a little bit of shadow detail, right? So again, we can focus on what the subject is. And I think this is one of the first spots where you start thinking about when you might want to shoot with Process Zero as opposed to the regular iPhone workflow, when you want to start causing some separation in the tones, because the iPhone's going to try to hang on to everything, right? If there's a shade in the shot, it wants to hang on to it, and it's going to do its best to bring all of that into the picture. Whereas when you shoot with Process Zero, it's a little bit more like when we used to shoot with film, where you're going to get what you expose for. That's going to look nice, whatever that is. Most of the time, it's going to be the subject, right? And then the other things, the bright whites and the dark blacks, they're going to kind of go their own way. And the phone, in this case, when you're shooting Process Zero, is not going to try to hang on to those tones. It's just going to let them go darker or let them go brighter and focus on the subject itself. And I think if you want that effect, then it's easy. You just go to Process Zero using Halid to take your shot. If you want to try to hang on to everything in the tonal range in your composition, then you shoot with the iPhone in Pro Raw or the iPhone in high efficiency or JPEG. So right away, I would say of all the things, of all the scenarios, that's one of the scenarios where it's easy to decide which of these approaches you're going to take. The other approach is, and they show this in a blog post, is that when you want a lot of detail, especially in a lower light composition, because the iPhone takes multiple shots in lower light, and then it just draws the best out of all of those and gives you a shot that works. That's how it reduces noise. That's how it does low exposure, all that kind of stuff. It sometimes loses fine detail in that process. Whereas if you want that fine detail, let's say the fine detail of skin. In this case, I think they used a baby. If you want the fine detail of a baby's face and you don't want that averaged out, then this is another scenario where Process Zero might make more sense. Now, if it's a low light shot, you're going to get more noise. You're going to have to deal with that, but at least you can deal with that as you choose. You can figure out the trade-off that you want between noise reduction and detail with Process Zero, whereas with iPhone computational photography, it's just going to do its thing, and then you live with the results. So I think that's another scenario where you could think about, hey, I do want some of this fine detail. I don't want it averaged out. That might be a Process Zero scenario. And then, of course, there's going to be other things too, depending on how you process and work with these files. So as I said at the top of the show, I'm not talking about this to replace what you're doing. You know, I'm not saying, hey, chuck everything you're doing and now shoot with Halid. That's not it at all. But what I do think is interesting is to have it, to play with it, to get to know it, and then to have that option in your back pocket for when you want to do something creatively and you want to have more control over the image, including being able to edit a RAW file, then I think Process Zero is very interesting and can be very useful. It just sort of broadens the capability of the iPhone, which is interesting, paradoxically, right? It broadens the capability of the iPhone by taking away a number of its features and allowing us just to work with a single shot RAW file. So I think it's fascinating. I really have enjoyed playing with it. I'm going to continue to play with it. It's actually on my action button right now. The reason why I did that is if I want to shoot a regular shot with the iPhone, I go to the camera app in the normal way, you know, long press on the camera icon, however you do it. And then if I want to shoot with Process Zero and just have a RAW file without all the processing, then I use the action button on the side of my phone, and that takes me to Halid, and then I already have how it's set up, and then I can shoot that way. And I can actually go back and forth really fast. I think it's a very interesting app and workflow. There's a free trial for 1 week. I have the links in the show notes. I have that sample film strip in the show notes. And take a look at it and see what you think if you feel like playing with your photos a bit with the iPhone and not just having the iPhone dictate how your shots are going to look. Camera, in quotes, is the indie movie every photographer will love, and you can stream it now. And this is an article on Digital Camera World, and I have a link to it in the show notes. I haven't watched this movie yet because I just discovered this post today as I was researching stuff for the podcast, but I can't wait to watch it. I may watch it tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about it. This is a heartwarming family drama. The camera isn't just a plot device, but a character in its own right. And here's what they have to say about it. The history of cinema is full of movies about photographers, from films about real-life shooters to dramas about fictional photographers. But when it comes to the latter, the character's use of a camera is usually mainly a plot device. There's often not a lot of discussion about technique or the broader themes of photography as such. This new film, Camera, though, is a marked exception to this rule. As the title suggests, this heartwarming new drama puts photography firmly at the center of its narrative and is making waves in the world of independent movies. Available to stream on Amazon Prime TV and Apple TV in the U.S., the film has already garnered critical acclaim and 2 prestigious awards. Set in a struggling American fishing town, the film follows Oscar, played by newcomer Miguel Gabriel, a 9-year-old boy who cannot speak but finds his voice through the lens of a broken film camera. Bullied and misunderstood, his world changes when he meets Eric, Bo Bridges, the owner of a local repair shop. Their unlikely friendship, sparked by a shared interest in damaged film camera, becomes the catalyst for personal growth and community healing. Director Jay Silverman is himself a celebrated stills photographer with over 35 years' experience, and he specifically set out to transfer an authentic and nuanced understanding of the medium to the screen. One of the most interesting aspects of Camera for photographers is its use of a vintage twin-lens reflex film camera as a central plot device. As mentor Eric teaches the young Oscar on how to get the most out of this aging technology, it's both a nostalgic journey for older hands who remember analog and an introduction to it for younger ones who don't, with the emphasis on the art of making every frame count. Bo Bridges, who delivers what some critics are calling one of his best performances of his career, brings depth and warmth to the character of Eric, while newcomer Miguel Gabriel is outstanding as his young charge. Ultimately, Camera, which was shot in 18 days, is not just a film about photography. As the nonverbal Oscar finds his voice through images, this stirring and uplifting story demonstrates how the medium can transcend traditional communication barriers and stands as a testament to its ability to bridge gaps and foster understanding. I'm telling you, I can't wait to watch this movie. I hope it's good. If any of you do catch it as well and you want to post your impressions of it, please do so, especially Inner Circle members on our Inner Circle site. I'd love to hear what you think about it. Photographer retrieves $25,000 worth of stolen gear thanks to AirTags, and he films the encounter on Meta Ray-Bans. And this is a story on petapixel.com. I have a link in the show notes. This is very interesting. And by the way, I have AirTags everywhere. All right, let's see what the story says. A photographer who had over $25,000 worth of camera gear stolen from him before quickly retrieving it thanks to a well-placed AirTag. He filmed his encounter with the thieves on his Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses after the bag was stolen while traveling in Copenhagen, Denmark. He had been on a family bike ride, and when he arrived back at the apartment he was staying in, He put his camera bag in the bike buggy and forgot it when he went inside. When he came back out, it was gone. Inside the bag was a goldmine of camera gear, a Sony A9 Mark III, a Hasselblad 907X with a CFV 100C medium format back on it, Sony FEPZ 16-35mm F4G lens, a Hasselblad XCD 38mm F2.5V lens, a Leica Summilux M 50mm F1.4 a spherical lens. In total, this equipment was worth over $25,000. Oh my gosh, that is a camera bag, my friends. Quote, I do this for a living, he explains on the YouTube channel. I carry significantly more money in gear than when I'm going to photograph weddings or events. They're tools for me. After realizing he no longer had his bag, he quickly remembered he had AirTag stashed on his A9. After a brief technical problem, it showed up a few miles away, so he quickly went out the door to track the AirTag down. On his way out, he grabbed his Metaray bands, which recorded a literal eyewitness account of the encounter with the robbers. After arriving at the location, he spotted the camera bag and immediately confronted the man holding it. The encounter was remarkably cordial. He calmly explained the facts of the case, what was inside the bag, and that he had AirTags attached to it. I had caught them off guard without being threatened, he explained. It never turned into anything more than a simple argument about how I can get the bag back. The surprise thief basically owned up to taking the bag, and he is able to get his gear back. However, the man did ask him for some money, to which the photographer agreed. One of his friends pipes up and says, make him give you 100 or something, he adds. Well, 100 Danish krone is roughly the equivalent of $14, and the thief doubled it, asking for 200 krone. At this point, I have a decision to make, he said. Should I continue to escalate the situation, or should I unjustly give the guy the equivalent of $28? And he chose $28. Anyway, it's an interesting story. The whole piece, with some pictures and such, including the video, is at petapixel.com. I have a link in the show notes. I like AirTags a lot. I have them in the car, have them in my camera bag. I have them all sorts of places. And then I do keep an eye on things with my phone. And I think they work really well. The batteries are easy to change. Pretty good stuff. Not bad at all. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club business. Let's start out with a big thanks to our Inner Circle members, the folks that support this podcast month in and month out, and also add a lot of fun and variety to my online life. Inner Circle members have access to our site exclusively for them on Derek Story Online, where they can participate in photo challenges, ask questions, share victories, share new gear reviews, just whatever they want to talk about. It is a photography watering hole, and it is a lot of fun. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, and I hope you are, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, nose around a bit, see what you think, and then you can join right there. Once you do, you soon will receive an invite to our Inner Circle site on Derek Story Online. And that's when the fun begins. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this community. And I want to give a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper as well, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. I'm still smiling after having Drew join us for two sessions of our inkjet printing workshop. There is just so much information to digest, and I tell you, whenever you hang around someone who really knows their stuff, it is such a joy, isn't it? It is so much fun. And now we have dug into the details of our inkjet printing workflow, and it's going really well, but you know what? We're referring back to a lot of things that we learned during our Q&A session with Drew, and it's that kind of support that I so appreciate. And then the great papers, not bad either, as all the details that are on the site, just all the helpful reviews and projects and templates, all that good stuff. I'll tell you, inkjet printing gets a lot more fun when you know what you're doing and you have good tools to work with, and Red River Paper can help with all of that. If you're interested in experiencing some of this joy, just click on the Red River paper tile that's on all the pages of the digital story. Nose around a bit, get yourself some paper, and start making prints. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Lots of fun stuff to play with. I'm working on more great stuff for next week. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.